Hey, it's Don Coscarelli, filmmaker. I just wrote a book. Check it out. It's called Fiction, Tales from the World of Phantasm. And it can teach you all the things that you never knew about the Phantasm film series. A lot of interesting stuff. Horror, violence, not much sex. Check it out. Now available on Amazon, paperback, and Kindle.
This is The Gala Show. I'm your reporter on the beat, Gala Avery. On this episode, I've got two guests on the mic. You'll know one of my guests as an advocate of Yorkies, a director who has worked on TV shows such as My Dead Ex, Ultraviolet and Black Scorpion, and Creepshow, and the filmmaker behind one of the grossest movies of 2023, Suitable Flesh. You'll know my second guest from her work as an editor on some of your favorite boutique labels. My two guests are not only writing and editing partners, but they are also a husband and wife duo and two people I have been dying to hang out with, Joe Lynch and Rebecca Howard.
Hey, Rebecca. Hi, Joe.
Oh, my God. That was amazing. That was such a good, such so a good intro. I feel like I should just die now. That was like,
I mean, you didn't go with the 21st century Garson Kanin and Ruth Gordon label that I just applied to us. So now I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, we're not recording it again. I know. Like, that stays. That's final.
Can you imagine
final
the
cut.
Ego? Oh, yeah.
You could do that again.
Yeah, please.
Hi, Gala.
Hi. Honestly, I have been waiting to meet you guys because you're a huge fan of the podcast.
We're both huge fans. Fans.
Yeah,
we've shared
I'm
many
very starstruck right now.
Many oh, a treadmill you. Running while yeah. listening and going like, can you believe what they just said on the show?
I'll like be laughing to myself at the gym, and like Joe will be looking at me. I'm like, oh, video archives. Yep. Like,
do you guys have like a favorite, just... like a favorite movie that we've covered so far on the on video archives?
See, you said you weren't going to start with a hardball.
I know
question.
That's not even my question. That's
oh
just...
my gosh, favorite one. I mean, there's so many. There's a lot of. Films I discovered, mm-hmm. but I feel like the conversations, I actually prefer listening to the conversations on movies that I haven't seen yet, mm-hmm. because when I have seen the movie, I get so, like, I'm desperate to join in on the conversation and, like, be a part of it, so it's nicer sometimes to hear your, like, different takes on movies that I don't know.
I like the discourse when you guys are not all...
on and the same page.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like just definitely.
Hearing, because there's something about feeling like not like everyone has their own opinion. And, you know, like, I'm trying to think of, well, Slithis, everyone obviously.
Yeah,
you know,
all love Slithis.
That one is a gold mine yeah. of goodness. But
Star like, 80 was a great episode.
Star 80. I still think that the
love
discovery
lipstick.
Of, see, Lipstick is one that we were both, I think we were both running going, we have to.
No, you always say that. I'd already put Lipstick on our list of
oh,
like,
no.
movies to watch.
But
and
it was,
then it was like the
then
next
it was
day
like we
got to
put it on our list.
And I was yeah. like, oh, plate of shrimp. But yeah, no, it's yeah. I think I mean they're all really interesting because it's nice just to have people that engaged mm-hmm. in movies again. Like, don't want to jump the gun, but that's definitely one of the reasons why we picked our topic today, that it's just really lovely to see people, whether or not they like the movie, it's just actually have an opinion one way or the other. Mm-hmm. And then like, even if it's differing opinions, I think you get to such exciting places just being like into the experience.
You guys touched on two things that Roger and Quentin really wanted. One, he really wanted Quentin specifically really wanted people to be able to listen without having seen the movies. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He was like, this should be for people that have seen it and haven't seen it. So it's like a good mix. Like, you don't have to watch the movies before. And that's why we don't put out the list of titles before. Because yeah. Quentin's like, you should just be able to listen. And then if you can find it, great. And the other, which is my dad's goal, is that like, you can have different opinions about movies and you can fight. Like
yeah.
tooth and nail, like Moonraker. Totally. We still fight about that. Oh. And there's another one. There's another one. Honestly, I don't think it's in there, but I started clapping at Quentin. Like, I got so into it with him. Like, we were arguing. I started clapping. Like, but then at the end of the day, you can go downstairs and eat toy
yeah.
and be like, hey, let's watch a movie. And like, we're all good. Like, you yeah. don't have to die on that hill.
The thing that I, what I, because look, I grew up as a video store kid and then a video store clerk myself. And like when you found, like when Roger and Quentin came up through the ranks, that was like, it was one of us. Like you can watch every movie in the video store and it could amount to something. And yeah. like, but at the same time, part of the reason why, because I was a Blockbuster Video employee.
There's no shame in that.
I know. Well, no I used shame. To think it was. Like, there used to be a time cool where people now. Were like, Blockbuster? What about Hollywood Video, man? No, it was like 3 months in a row I was Employee of the Month. And the reason Aww. Why, I know, I wore that proudly. But the reason why was because when everybody was trying to hawk all of the new releases, I was the one, because they would keep all the stuff in the center, like all the library titles. And it was like, oh, I'm so sorry, Scream 2's not in or Casino's not in, but have you seen Mean Streets?
So you were literally doing like video archives at Blockbuster. You were doing exactly. God's work.
Yes. So part of the reason why I loved even being there was when someone would come up and say, there's no Scream 2, what do I do? And I'm like, but have you seen Friday the 13th Part 5?
Oh, wow. And then that was the first movie Joe and I went to go see together at the New Beverly.
Ooh.
It was like Part 5.
Friday.
It was a matinee on a Friday.
February 2nd, yeah. 2 p.m. Oh, wow. show. Oh, you know, gosh, of course I remember it. And it was sold out. And
it was one of my first LA movie going experiences at all. And I couldn't believe like that there were that many people, well, that, first of all, out of work.
That many out of work screenwriters.
Able to go to a Friday matinee. But also that were really just so into the movie. Mm-hmm. Like they were really like, I've always had Quoting a soft it. Spot for yeah. Part 5, and it was like amazing just to see that many people as into it. Yeah, I might have fallen in love with a lot of things that day, Yay. Especially the Aww. New Bev and LA.
And we've gone there ever since.
And yeah.
Actually, it's going to kind of segue into my question before you guys, before
Welcome
our topic.
Welcome to the tangents yeah, right. that go into our conversation.
That's like my family. Later. Welcome to Family Avery, basically. Oh, good. How did you guys meet?
On a Santa Monica, you're probably much. I'm always just like on the pier.
Yeah.
At an industry party makes it way.
Let me take you back.
You make it more romantic.
To 2019.
Yeah, wow. It was before the pandemic.
So, one of our friends, Graham Skipper, has this like pop up party experience that's very horror related called the Rated R Bar.
So, industry. And it's not just a party, it's a party
it's
experience.
It's an experience. Yes. And he's actually having one very soon. And he was doing a Halloween party, and it was on the Santa Monica Pier, and he'd asked me to be one of the judges. And I'm like, well, can I get in for free? Is there food? Why not? And
free and food, the two very important things in life.
And yes. a very good mutual friend of ours, Ailsa, who I knew from England, had DM'd me and said, my friend Becca's coming into town. Just if she shows up, please make her feel welcome. And I'd never met her before at all. But it literally was, and this is a fun moment, but I have a moment where it was like when you go down the ramp, there's that like inside, like where the carousel is.
Yeah.
And we were there, and literally Aaron Moorhead and Justin Benson parted ways in slow motion. And there was Becca, and she came right towards me.
You had like your John Hughes movie moment.
100%. And it was in slow motion. Well, then it became a John Woo movie, and doves started flying in the background and everything.
A rainbow appeared and like confetti and
that
like sparkles.
That was it. It was that's where we met. And then immediately.
Well, we were just friends for a long time. Yeah. It just sort of became, it was just very easy straight away to talk to.
But
we were both the same kid, basically, like because like we met and we were both just like 12-year-olds.
Immediately we started talking movies because I knew that she loved movies, and obviously I kind of like them as well.
Just a little.
But it was the back and forth of like, did you ever see this movie? Did you ever see this movie? And not like we were testing each other, but there's something fun, a fun challenge when you start bringing up like, okay, of course, you know all the greats, but what about this Carl Reiner movie? And what about that Toby Hooper flick? And then when they go like, oh, I fucking love that movie. You're like, okay, all right, this cat's cool. And then, but it wasn't until later that we became a couple. Friday the 13th Part 5 was definitely like one of the impetus moments, because didn't we go see Fart Barf that night?
Wait, Fart Barf?
Oh, one of the greatest bands of all time.
Wow, we're plugging so many.
I know,
local
right?
LA.
While talking about Seven Brides and Seven Brothers, we
went
to
a
show. Oh
yeah, that was a big, that was one of my favorite Howard Keel movies. So like I just was so excited that you liked Seven Brides for Seven Brothers.
And there's this band called Fart Barf, which is a kind of a super group synth wave band where it's a bunch of guys.
Simian costumes.
It's a bunch of guys
outfits.
In NASA outfits and simian costumes that you don't know who they are. They could be fucking Foo Fighters for all we know.
Yeah, I want to, like, because we have a friend who knows who, like, it is.
I have a friend who knows but, like, Fart Barf.
Yeah. Well connected here. But I, like, she's like, oh, I can tell you, like, who the secret band is. And I really don't want to know.
I don't want to know.
In my head, that it's like a super group.
Don't pull the curtain back.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like, but essentially, it was over our mutual love for all movies and Fart Barf.
Being outside of the Fart Barf concert singing Bless Your Beautiful Hide to each other. Yeah, it was just, we just got on.
Yep. But it started out as friends and then kind of blossomed from there.
Yes. Oh, I love that. It's like the romance LA story that, like, I yearn for myself. So
yeah, without talking talking signs on the 10, you know, like an LA story.
Oh, I love it. Now, as always, my guest gets to bring their topic to the mic. Why don't y'all tell us what your topic is and why you decided to choose it?
Do you like to take
would
it?
You? No, you can if you want.
Well, it was, I guess, technically, I'm trying to do what you said to do and actually keep it in one sentence.
If you don't keep it in one sentence, you can let it go.
Yeah, well, like, I do. So it's litmus test movies. Yes. Like movies where you'll bring it to a date or to a party and you'll see how the people react to it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's properly, the most succinct way of.
Like, for example, when we first met, when we started to talk to each other about movies, there were these movies, like I said before, that we wanted to kind of suss each other out in terms of taste. So these are movies that I know, this is actually derived from Quentin, because I remember when I was first starting to date, I was like, how am I going to, like, let people know how nerdy I am with certain movies.
Oh yeah.
And when you Quentin said in the mid-90s, he was like, it's Rio Bravo, I got to show a girl that, and if she doesn't like that movie, she's out.
I do want to caveat that I do think that I've become slightly less judgmental with age. I hope so, because I used to be very that.
I've gotten more.
No, I used to be very, in my like late teens, early 20s, I was very like Q in that, like the pilot episode of The Next Gen, where he's just like, every like humanity is on the chopping block. Like if someone didn't love a movie that I loved, it was like that person was dead to me. But now I do try now to be a bit kinder to that person. But it's an interesting topic, because mm-hmm. your relationships to like any media, like a movie, a book or a song, like that evolves as you change as a person. Like every time you rewatch something, you're mm-hmm. not watching like, that's why I'm so happy Letterboxd has the rewatch function. Otherwise, it'd be like half of the movies on my Letterboxd would not be there. Because I think every time you rewatch a movie, you're having a new experience with it, the same way that you do with people. And every time you watch a movie that you love with someone that you love, especially, like you get to experience it in a whole different way. Mm-hmm. And it's like just a very interesting way of exploring your relationship to a whole bunch of things.
I think part of it also is when you have a relationship that's either longstanding or burgeoning, it's, you know, it's developing, you want to share these movies with that person. You know, you want it, like Becca was saying, like there's a version of a movie that you watch by yourself, and then there's a version of the movie where you're watching it like with someone else. And I've seen so many movies that I've loved, and then I've shown them to someone, and then I go, oh God, do I hate this movie now because they didn't like, you know, what
Bachelor
was going
Party
on?
Is a bad movie. All right, stop trying to make Bachelor Party happen.
Bachelor Party was a product of its time, and Tom Hanks is a godsend.
My sister was visiting and she was like, ooh, let's put on Bachelor Party tonight. And both Joe.
Bad move.
Yeah, Joe like was steadily getting cringier and cringier.
I forgot.
As the movie progressed and the full 80s-ness.
I forgot how misogynist that movie is, and it did not play well that night.
And I am definitely, I'm very one of those people who like, there's like a Joseph Losey movie called The Go-Between where he's like, well, going back in time is like going to a foreign like planet. Mm-hmm. And that is true. When you watch an old film, you should totally contextualize it always. Like, I love watching old movies from, you know, the 1930s. It's like my happy place. And you
wait,
have
wait,
to
hold
constantly...
on. Were we supposed to turn the fucking timer
we
on?
We haven't done it yet. So
all right.
Oops.
Yeah. All right.
You guys
so,
are in.
So that's our topic is litmus test movies. Back
in
to you, Gala.
One sentence. But before we get into the topic, it's time for our commercial break.
Do, 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 do.
Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba
I might be vegetarian, but that doesn't mean I can't enjoy a good spice rub. My favorite place to get them is Smoked Bros, a veteran-owned and operated business that sells premium handcrafted dry rubs, spice blends, and seasonings. Psst, guys, you can even put it on your popcorn. My favorites are Honey Badger, because he doesn't give a bleep, and jelly and peanut flavor topping, because some things just taste better together. The website even has recipes, so go check out smokedbros.com to support a veteran-owned and operated business and fill your cabinet with delicious flavor.
Do 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 do. And we're back.
You heard it here, litmus test movies. I have 30 minutes on the clock and our time officially starts now.
Oh,
you guys
God.
Are in a very special club with Eli Roth, who did not also...
And you even said, like, oh just, God. You know, try not to let it be too long.
Please just interrupt us. Like, honestly.
Because I love it. I love it because you said something that was really important, Becca, was that something I've struggled with dating, and especially, like, guys in Los Angeles who, like movies, is if they don't like a movie that I like, I'm like, I don't know about you anymore. And when I was dating my ex, he was like, you know, Gala, like, we don't have to like the same things and we can still like each other.
Oh, fuck that guy.
And yeah, exactly. I'm gonna be honest.
That's so condescending.
Exactly, because I realize it's not that they don't like it, it's that they don't understand it. And then by proxy, they don't understand me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And maybe I just like adopt media as like part of my personality, but like when I show someone, like for example, Starstruck, which you guys just watched.
Oh, yeah. Oh my so God, good. I can't believe that's one of your favorite. It's one of my we literally favorite watched movies. It this week because it was a New Year's movie, and yeah. I've loved Jillian for like ever. And I've been so excited because I love musicals are like a big thing for me.
If you have like musicals and 80s in the same yeah. like realm, I'm in.
Exactly.
I can't believe I haven't seen this movie.
And in Australia as well.
And I actually have the vinyl soundtrack of that.
That's
and
amazing.
I played it last night after we talked about it. Yeah, it's amazing. And when she does My Belief, I Believe in You, mm-hmm. in the movie, she's really sad singing it because like her band has kind of abandoned her. Like yeah. she's singing
was that the Swingers?
No, it's like when she goes on TV.
Yeah.
And she's like, and they're trying
to get the awkward.
But yep. But on the vinyl, she sings it like she means it.
Oh, wonderful.
And it's
oh,
interesting. So it's so such cool. like a nice like difference. But I love that movie. And so like when I show it to someone and like maybe they don't like it, but like if they get it and they're like, okay, I get why.
Yeah.
This is cool. That's okay. But if they're like, oh, this movie's really bad, I'm really like, I don't know if you and I can like hang out anymore.
I mean, movies are reflections of us.
Yeah.
And the movies that we love and that we've, you know, that we kind of turn into part of us, they become part of our DNA. So to allow someone into that, like, I guess, inner sanctum of who you are as a person, those movies are extensions of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one, like, for example, we can talk about
our first official date.
Our first official
which
date.
Which happened here in these Hollywood
yes,
halls.
In the lovely Aeriscope.
Yeah, so just like for preface, you guys, we are in Aeriscope right now, and I've never seen as many cool collectibles, I don't think. I say it a few times, like, This place is really cool.
Yeah, this is technically Adam Green's shrine.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it's
well,
really...
shout out to Adam.
Yeah,
we there's a huge... flat screen TV in the middle of the room
not
and
a
like
one,
a lot yeah. of did we get food? Yeah, we got burritos.
Yep.
And we both decided to bring a movie and we had no idea what the other person was bringing and we were just going to
potluck feature.
Yeah, exactly, potluck double feature. And I brought what ended up being the A picture, My Man Godfrey from 1936. A Gregory LaCava movie starring William Powell and Carol Lombard. And
which I had never seen before.
Yes. Yeah, we actually hadn't seen either of each other's yep. movies before, so that worked out.
But it was
what
also...
What did you bring, Joe?
Well, I brought the Lucio Fulci classic New York Ripper.
Yeah. Oh, and what a wild potluck double feature that
wonderful.
Is.
Wonderful.
In retrospect...
two great arguably, things that taste great together.
Like, yeah. It's like chocolate and peanut butter, you know, in a way.
I mean, they're both New York movies.
Yeah.
With the interiors of both definitely not shot in New York. So if you wanted to
we can find
them.
Enough parallels, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, before recording, we just found the greatest double feature, I think, of all time, which would
yes.
be John Mack and Me McLean.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And that
yeah.
is the reason why is because, well, there is an E.T. shrine right behind Becca that Adam is a bit of a fan of
a
E.T.,
bit.
The extraterrestrial. And then Gala had revealed that she's more of a Mac and Me person.
Which we also tried to do on Video Archives, but my dad really wanted to. I wanted to do E.T. versus
I
Mac
really
and Me.
I really want you to do that so bad. Can I tell your dad, please make that happen?
Yeah.
It has to happen.
I pray.
And then you have to do the research about the infamous
deleted scene
that will destroy childhoods.
Alternate ending.
There's a reason why they cut it out, because it's a childhood
destroyer.
It's
amazing.
But
it's the best.
That movie came out the same weekend as Die Hard. So Phil from New Bev, if you're listening to this now, which I know you are, a John Mac and Me Clane double feature should be in order for next Christmas.
Wow.
It can happen.
That would be a really good Christmas.
It's a really good double feature.
Yeah.
But there is something about the pairing of movies, because we do movie nights at least once a month.
Yeah, that's what I call a true date night now. Because if we go out at all, or if other people are involved, if it's in any way less sweatpantsy, then it's not a real date night. Like a real date night for me, the perfect date night is we drive 20 minutes out of our way into the mountains to find our favorite takeout pizza.
LC Imports in La Crescenta. Shout out to LC. The most random fucking pizza place that's actually the best pizza place in town.
I mean,
get
the
pizza
best
from there.
Takeout, I would say. There are other places that do fancy schmancy LA pizza, but that's you have to sit down. And anyway, so there you get that pizza with a side of meatballs and wings, and then you decide what cocktail you're having to complement the movie. Mm-hmm. And then you just, you start a movie marathon. And for us, that usually starts around 6 p.m., especially if Joe Bob's on. You have to get back in time for Joe Bob. Mm-hmm. And then can just end up going 12 until
hours.
Yeah, honestly, until 4 or 5 a.m. the next day. I mean, we don't have kids, so just a caveat, that probably helps.
A little bit
just
easier.
Just a very obnoxious but beautiful dog. So he will just glower at us from his bed.
Do you know
until
Fernando D'Elia movies?
Yes.
So
oh
our,
my gosh.
Our dog's name is Rocco Musco.
Oh.
From Caliber 9.
Yeah. Because he's a little bit brain damaged. And if he meets a new person, he's incredibly sweet and loyal once he decides that you're his buddy. But if he meets someone for the first time, do you remember at the end of that movie when the Rocco Musco character how dare you kill him? And I don't want to spoil it for anyone who hasn't seen Caliber 9, but that's very apt for him. But anyway, back to the, I'm conscious of the 30 minutes.
No, but this is good though.
Okay.
But that was, that night was so important to us, because Adam likes to joke all the time. Joe's an encyclopedia of movies. He's seen every movie. I have not seen every fucking movie.
That's me too. People ask me oh, have you seen this? I'm like, no, I haven't. And you think I would, but I haven't yet. There's a lot to get through.
I have a lot of blind spots, and I know Becca does as well. Mm-hmm. And there's something about...
We complete each other.
It's knowing that you can show a movie that you have an affinity for, and not feel
just
like
not
you're going to
get judged.
Yes.
That's the real thing, because we've definitely disagreed, especially when you're bringing movies from your childhood into the picture.
Garbage Pail Kids, the movie, did not go over so well. And I don't fault you for that.
It was just very... I mean, I did enjoy it in a kitschy kind of a way. I didn't...
Maybe not Hot to Trot?
Yeah. I can see why as a child...
That movie is a great film.
Yeah,
though,
I did think
Caddyshack
sometimes...
Too.
Well, I have my own movies from my own childhood that I'm obsessive about, that I can
maybe... What's one of them?
Polar Express maybe is probably where I can see why
I've gotten on the
adults,
train since then,
as it were, can maybe not like it as much, because I'm watching it through the veneer of this intense childhood nostalgia. But it's still important to know that you can bring those kind of films into the picture as well. Those kind of childhood. I had a really intense love of Independence Day when I was a kid as well. And will literally recite the entire speech that President Whitmore does
when we
verbatim.
Were at the New Beverly last time, I had to hold her down.
No,
she was I'm getting up and doing it. No, I'm like,
well,
don't
that
do
was
it.
Like me at Phantom. When we were at Phantom, I was
Rocky. I'm
a
Rocky girl.
See, I'm a Phantom girl. Yeah. I'm a Phantom of the Paradise. I don't think
we've ever seen that in the theater.
Oh my God.
Phantom,
it was,
I don't think
so. I was vibrating. I'm not kidding. The energy was so electric.
So
it was
happy.
So intense, and it was amazing.
But I love Phantom. It's just Rocky was the one I saw first, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
And I have that childhood.
I'm a beefhead. I love Garrett Graham so
I love
much. Because Garrett Graham, well, also because I'm a huge Trekkie, and you cited Star Trek earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Garrett Graham's episode, Death Wish and Voyager, where he plays Q, the other Q who wants to die.
Wow.
He's so good in
it. So sad.
And like, and that's also like why I love Brad Dourif. Brad Dourif plays Suter in like a 2-episode arc. Yeah.
He played
he played a lot. And then like, of course, Jeffrey Combs is like in like all of Star Trek.
Yep. Yeah.
So it's like.
I forgot that Jeffrey was in Star Trek.
Well, it's because they didn't remaster. We were going through all of the original and next gen Star Treks. Mm-hmm. And then we got to DS9, which I think is super underrated. I love DS9. Fucking Garrick is amazing.
Oh yeah, and also like I just saw Dirty Harry.
Yes. And his, oh my god, it's the same. Yeah, and he's right. he played the Scorpio killer.
And I was like, when I saw him, I was like, who is that? That looks really familiar. And I'm like, oh my god, it's Elam Garrick. Oh my god.
Yeah, I know, because that's a beautiful like him and Dr. Bashir's. Anyway, whatever. The timer going off is like
well, trying. No, because like, well, for me, also like Star Trek, I guess would be like a litmus for me.
Yeah.
Because like I grew up like that was my church. Like my mom, yes. like and dad my, decided to
same,
teach
my
us.
Parents.
Was
were
there a line in the sand at all
about
like Star Trek versus Star Wars?
No, there's no line in our house. We watched both of them. Like the way I was always taught was that they need each other. Like the original series helped get Star Wars into the zeitgeist, yeah. and then Star Wars helped get TNG back into the zeitgeist.
That's true.
And so it's like an ebb and pull, and like they can both exist simultaneously, yeah. and you can be fans of both. And when people draw that hard line in the sand. It's because they don't understand it.
Yeah.
And that's how
you
I feel.
You can like Elvis and the Beatles. You don't have to choose.
You don't have to choose.
Again, back to litmus. It's like very, like when people just don't even try to engage or don't even try to get it. Mm-hmm. That's when it starts to be like disheartening,
I guess. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I think it's less like if they don't like something. If someone doesn't like something, like for example, I saw you saw Poor Things. I really hated Poor Things. I'm not going to go into it on mic why I hate it. I'll talk to you about it after because I don't want to eat up time. But like, I hated it. But like, I can understand why someone would like it. And that's okay. But like, just like it was not for me. But like, there's a difference. Like when someone's like, oh, I hate it. I can't even discuss. And I have a few movies that like, I know that if someone likes it, like Neon Demon is like this one movie. I felt so bad about myself after I watched Neon Demon.
I don't think it's a feel good movie.
It's not though. But like Marcel the Shell.
Oh my God.
I did not like Marcel the Shell.
Oh, it's so cute.
I'm also, I'm a hater though. I sit in seat, I literally sit in seat H8 at the AMC because it spells hate.
Oh my God.
I'm not kidding. That's like my favorite scene in the theater.
I'm going to look for you now in that scene.
No, and then my guess is always H7 because it's like heaven. So aww. It's like if I do like heaven and hell basically. I'm at the
movies. Wait. Okay. So in your litmus test movies, like I want to hear what's one of them.
Okay. Frantic is a really good example.
The Polanski
movie.
Wow.
So I saw Frantic for the first
Deep
time.
Holy
so I saw Frantic
shit.
For the first time, and I was like, this is the most romantic movie I have ever seen in my life. I love the genre of husbands that love their wives. The first Mad Max falls into that genre also because like he never looks back because his wife and baby have been murdered.
Oh. Can I recommend Possession?
Yeah, I need to. I should add that to the list. I've been told several times, but like I with my ex that also told me, hey, we don't have to like the same things. I begged him. I was like, please watch Frantic with me. Like this is the most romantic movie ever made. And we started watching it, and 20 minutes, and he got up to do the dishes.
Oh,
I know. And that's like when I was like, oh.
But that's
okay.
Neat. That's like
I know. I was like,
you
oh,
you have to give a movie a shot.
Yeah,
especially
just
one
try.
When, like,
come on, man.
We watch plenty of movies where it's like, it casually we put it on the list. We go to Cinephile down in Santa Monica.
Yeah,
all the
that's
time.
Plenty of films where we've differed.
Exactly, but like you have to give them a shot. You have to see it all the way through to
and also
delineate.
Be willing to re-watch something because you will just find like Poor Things. I would recommend like coming over for a movie marathon night. And watching it like as a hangout because we like our movie marathons are much more like hangout vibes.
Yeah, we try not to watch first run movies for us.
Yeah, it'll be maybe the first movie that we like the movie that's starting us off sometimes. But it's nice to know around what like the kind of vibes, I guess, that you're going to set yourself up for by like, have you already seen the movie? Then you know kind of the emotional arc that you're about to take.
Yeah.
So it's nicer to kind of have the Poor Things, I feel like, would be better off almost. Like there's a lot of like Buñuel movies. I feel like he's so much better understood if you like watch him with
if
like a bottle of
plot,
wine and you're like,
yeah, it's all about setting. And, like who you're watching with, who you are when you first watch a movie. My other big litmus test, and I've said this on the podcast before, is Rules of Attraction. And like that one.
Yeah, but do you feel like you're a little biased on
oh,
that?
I'm totally biased on it. But it's like, I grew up partially also on the set. And so it's like, I grew up with the movie. My dad made it. It's like when I watched, if someone doesn't like and understand that movie, I actually feel like personally, like they don't understand me.
That still has.
Because it's my father's art.
Exactly. And the thing is, like with that movie, aside from your personal connection to it.
Yeah.
Like for me, I grew up with Brett's work.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
We've gone out to dinner with Brett many times.
I love Brett.
Oh yeah.
Brett's amazing. Gotten
very drunk with him.
Yeah. Oh God. He was one of the first, he was maybe the first person we actually went out to meet after the pandemic.
Yeah, that's
like to a restaurant. Right? And Joe and I hadn't drunk in public. Like we'd just been making our pathetic little screwdrivers at home. So we hadn't had like a restaurant mixed cocktail, and Brett is. He likes his martinis, yes, very dry. And we had like, I think, 5 cocktails and we thought we'd been drugged.
by the end of the night when we got back to the house, it was like inception.
And it was just alcohol. God. It was just,
she's in one room going, "Where are you?" And I'm like climbing on the walls, yeah, going, "These old factions were strong."
Oh my gosh.
But
I love Brett.
But Rules of Attraction still to this day has one of the best split screens of all time.
Oh yeah, no, the split screen is
that,
I've
studied that. But I also like what your dad was able to capture is something that, look, I love American Psycho. I love Mary Harron. I love the, I mean, I have a nostalgic feel for Lesson Zero, but I know it's not one of Brett's favorites and not a lot of other people's.
My dad used to not like it. And as with age, he said it's grown on him.
It grows on you. But Rules of Attraction, like that's one of the first times that I've ever, and I am hard to make cringe, but that razor blade scene.
Oh yeah.
And fucking Elijah Wood was sitting in front of me and watching him go, "I'm done," and he left.
Wow, yeah.
Well, he came back. To be fair, he came back.
No, but it's a very intense movie and it's a very intense sequence.
Very intense.
But for me,
but how do you frame that though?
Well, that's the thing. So like I showed one guy that I had been dating like when I was like a lot younger, and he just like didn't get it. And so now I don't show guys.
Yeah, I was about to say, that movie.
It's a different guy because I did not show the most recent guy that I was dating that. Because I was like, you know what? Like if they don't get it, I know it's over. Mm. Like I need someone that understands it because then they don't understand my father.
Wow.
It's very intense. Personal. Yeah. So it's like, I don't like to watch it with friends. I don't like to watch it with like boyfriends because yeah. I'm like, it's just a very personal, and I feel like I'm being judgmental for someone if they don't understand it.
Mm. Especially for, I think, watching that movie the first time. I've that's one of the things that I've tried to get better at with it, is that like for example, the Coen brothers were always a huge part of like my upbringing, and I always thought like if people didn't understand their sense of humor, then they didn't understand my sense of humor. Mm-hmm. But I really do think that I think like same as Rules of Attraction, you do kind of benefit from time passing and rewatching films yeah. like that, like the Coen brothers as well. Like they are very specific.
Oh, they're so specific.
Vibe. And like,
and also to full disclosure, I don't know if I understand the Coen brothers. Like I mean, my dad always says like people are gonna miss the Coen brothers so bad when they're gone.
Yeah.
Because like even like a bad Coen brothers movie is a good Coen brothers yeah. movie.
Well, it's still unique.
It's still quite like Lady them. Killers since they first
know.
Came out.
I love that. I love the original Lady Killers.
You what, have
the
it?
Allocation?
No, I love you. I love
I
that
love
one.
I love it. Oh my gosh.
When watching that one and going, that what era. Are the Coen brothers going to do with this one?
And I know.
I was like, I don't know.
Just Alec Guinness in general. What a
Oh, he's so
mensch.
Fun. And the color in that movie.
It's unbelievable.
It's really, really gorgeous.
I'm trying to remember the name of the horse's mouth. I'm trying to remember the name of that director. But he's like, Alec Guinness plays this kind of artist.
Oh, that's right. Back that's to, the new one.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's
What's
earlier.
Our time, by the way?
Yeah, I know. Are we allowed to ask the time?
Fine.
Oh, you're fine.
Oh, son of a bitch. I should have sent one
I know.
Too.
Joe and I both grew up in households with siblings where, like, if you didn't just shout over everyone and, like...
That's why we're terrible at parties.
Yeah,
we talk
just
over
talk,
each other.
But we don't see it as rude, like when we interrupt people and just talk. Because like, that's how we both learn to have a conversation.
You guys have a good cadence with each other, though.
Thank
but
you.
That's what's part of like movie night and even litmus test movies, when you can have these experiences with someone. And you don't have to, like, there have been plenty of movies that I've shown you, mostly 80s movies, where you've been like, eh.
Was there a movie that you were afraid to show her?
Yes, and we just talked about this because, of course, we were like, what are we going to talk about? I have a very, very close affinity for Carl Reiner's Summer School.
Okay.
And now part of that is because I was Chainsaw. I am Chainsaw. Like, like I am that geeky guy that had Fangoria in his,
yeah.
you know, in his locker room and everything. But there's something about the comedy, the very particular comedy stylings that is in that movie. And the Shout Factory disc came out, and I remember getting it, and you'd never seen it before, and I was very nervous showing you that movie because I, like, from first moment to last, I think that movie is just comedy genius. And it was like maybe 20 minutes in and you laughed at something so fucking random. It's not even a joke. It was just a random thing that some character did. I think Mark, like, it was a moment where like Mark Harmon hands the one, like the big black student who's like, I need to go to the bathroom. And he hands him something. And then like he came back and you laughed. And it's like such a small moment, but you laughed. And I'm like, oh, thank God.
But you said like for you, the big moment was when like last summer we were starting to program our first like summer fest movie marathon. This is just us in our living room, by the way.
Do you guys like program ahead of time?
Usually. Yeah. We go with the flow, but we like to have a big,
like a list of movies that we can go.
A good switchboard.
Oh, well, yeah. Maybe that one next.
Yeah. Exactly. But yeah, no, it was like around summertime and I was like, oh, we should summer school like that. We need to put like, I brought it up. I was like, oh, that needs to be on the list. Yeah. And Joe was like, oh, thank God. I think this works.
And on the flip side of that, at least for me, because I want
really
you to go too.
Summer school, yeah.
There's another movie that I have a very close connection to, which is Alex Winter's Freaked.
Oh.
And I thought that
did
was
that
gonna be a
play,
fucking
did that just
slam.
Play at the Bev?
It just did.
Yeah,
it just have you ever did. Seen it?
No, I've never seen it.
It's
and also
bonkers.
I haven't seen Gremlins 2 either.
Oh, I love Gremlins 2.
I know.
All right,
well,
I'm waiting
Christmas
for like the
is
right
over
moment.
Now.
Well, I can watch.
You,
I can,
yeah, but no. The thing is, Gremlins 2. No, Gremlins 2 is not a Christmas movie, so you can watch it.
Oh, I
anytime.
Guess.
Oh,
okay,
that's
but
true.
I watch movies any time of year. I have
we do, but like, but I'm not gonna go. Let's watch Die Hard tonight in April. You know.
Oh, I do that.
Really?
Yeah. Well, like for me, like. Because I just love, like if I want to watch Die Hard, I'm going to watch Die Hard. If I want to watch Jesus Christ Superstar, I'm going
to
watch Jesus Christ
Superstar.
If I want
to
watch
no,
Night of the Leapus
watch it on Easter,
in December, yeah. I'm going to watch Night of the Leapus in December.
No.
Leprechaun year round.
No. Well, yeah, I'm a Leprechaun all year round kind of guy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
but Freaked was one that I thought, like, nailed it, slam dunk, it's going to be great. And you didn't really respond to it, you know, but that.
I have also, I only watched it once, and it is one of those movies that is so. I would like to revisit it now knowing what's about to happen because I think I was just
well, that
so...
movie, it's like an airplane or like a Zaz movie where there's so many jokes
it's,
happening.
It's exhausting
yeah, it
trying to keep up with
much.
It the first time.
I think the thing that litmus test movies for us, and I think from the beginning, I think for just anybody, it creates, and I'm sorry to use such a buzzy word, but it creates an algorithm from like, at least you know
you
that
like
we can
this,
watch.
You like this, so you like this.
Yes. So like when I knew, like, I think one of the first conversations we ever had was like, there's people who love Texas Chainsaw Massacre 1. And then there's people who have seen and also love Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. Not everybody loves Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. It is a wildly different tone of movie. And I know so many people who are like, well, Texas Chainsaw Massacre is a fucking masterpiece. Oh, fuck that Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 movie. You
they
know,
just hate fun.
When we, well, exactly. But that's us. But when we started talking about it, I almost didn't believe you because I thought like, and this happens all the time too, where you're like, oh my God, I love that movie. And then in the back of your head going, I've never seen it. Or I hate that movie, but I want to.
No, I look at People of the Dead, so I'm like, yeah.
I haven't seen Frantic. I don't know if you could tell
when
you mentioned it.
You
like,
should watch Frantic because
I've
really
recorded
like
it in my head.
Well, it's sexy. Okay, it's because Harrison Ford loves his wife and because Polanski loves Emmanuel Seigner.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're like, they've fallen in love. It's his wife at the time.
What era?
Yeah, was that 87, 88?
86 maybe? I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, it was like late, like mid to late 80s.
I don't know. I have
I
the poster
the
in my house.
Poster,
I have the Japanese. Like no, I have the Japanese poster in
What's
my house.
What's the Japanese poster?
It's like, it's when they're hanging off the rooftop.
Oh,
and like
wow.
He's holding onto her, but it's a red background.
We have
Ooh,
to put that on
nice.
The list.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, totally.
That's a good one.
Yeah, no,
but what, wait, so what do you think of Bitter Moon though?
I haven't seen Bitter Moon.
Ooh.
I know.
That's another one where he is not fetishizing Emmanuel, but he's having, you can tell they're going through stuff.
Okay.
In a great way though.
Then I got to watch, okay. I have to say this about Harrison Ford really quick because I like love thinking about this. But when you look at Harrison Ford's filmography, because I love Peter Weir also and Mosquito
love
Coast,
him.
You can look at Harrison Ford before Mosquito Coast and after Mosquito
that
Coast.
Fucking blonde hair.
He goes crazy after Mosquito Coast because he does Working Girl next. And if you see his, I think it's called Working Girl.
Yeah.
If you see his energy in Working Girl, it's like he's still
coming down
coming
off the
down
high
off
of Mosquito Coast.
Off of Mosquito Coast.
It works for him.
Oh, it's fine.
It's
yeah.
so
really fine.
It's so great though. Is there a movie that you guys have like really argued about, like that has caused an argument, like when you guys show it to each other?
I don't think so.
Oh, that's so good. That's such a relief.
Yeah,
I think we've ever vehemently gone like, no, you're no. Polar Express the first time because But the thing is, I would also,
yeah, I would also like, if it's a movie that I have that childhood, like I mentioned the Rugrats movie the other night and said, that would be fun.
That's really good though,
Right? Thank you, Gala.
It's actually really good.
Okay, yeah. Maybe the Rugrats movie.
They go to like Europe, don't they?
Yeah, yeah, they like, actually it's really the fun. And
why do I feel like the minority here?
There's I used to play the Rugrats video game on my Mac.
Oh my god, the huge fat desktop computer.
Time is getting eaten away with the fucking Rugrats movie right now.
Anyway, I mentioned that while doing something dumb in the kitchen. Because, oh no, because they had the song like ooh ee, ooh. Oh, I don't want to get you. Yeah, I'm getting in trouble. Cover. But that's in the movie, and that was the first time I'd ever heard that song because I watched it when I was like, I don't know, five. And so I fully appreciate that because I saw it when I was five. I have a different relationship to that movie than Joe does. But you should still be willing to give it a chance and add it to the movie marathon. I've never told Joe that he can't add anything. Hot to Trot, Caddyshack 2. I've been very lenient.
Is there one movie besides the Rugrats movie that you really want to show him?
That
you haven't yet?
I feel like I'm going to be kicking myself like in another 20 minutes where I'm going to be like, oh yeah, of course.
Well, then you better show it to him.
I mean, Ernst Lubitsch, I'm a little nervous to show you now because I showed you a very early Lubitsch and you fell asleep.
Wait, which one? The
I think it was The Smiling Lieutenant.
No, it was the one with women in the title. Was it The Women?
No, that's George Cukor.
No, that's right. Yeah, there was a Lubitsch movie that was like
much later.
You even sold it on me. It's like, it's only an hour long, and I was out.
Yeah, it was, to be fair, one of the earlier sound pictures in general, which, you know, they barely move the camera. But I still thought Lubitsch, being who he is, was still making some really interesting moments happen with Maurice Chevalier. And it just, you just felt, so now I'm nervous to like put Lubitsch on the calendar. But that's
also because, like, because
I love Lubitsch.
Dude, I was practically falling asleep last night during Godzilla Minus One, but that's because I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. And, when we're finishing a movie, don't judge me for that. I can't help it if I'm like, hey, Mom.
It's okay. It's okay. I fell asleep during when they re-released Jaws in 3D.
We love that.
It was so good. Oh, I loved seeing that.
Did you feel
that,
like,
but I did fall asleep.
Yeah, but it's, especially when
I was at a
movie.
Midnight. I was at like a 10 p.m. show.
We went to like a very, very late screening of Killer of the Flower Moon. That was the worst possible way to choose
to see that movie.
I love it too. But I'm very excited to watch it at home.
I wish Quentin was able to like sneak into a screening for Marty and say like, put an intermission into that.
Oh my gosh. I think long movies need intermission.
They do. Ridiculous. My butt hurts. Like, come on. You can't just like keep it, especially like some of those cinemas.
3 hours and 40 minutes, that deserves an intermission just to stretch your legs.
Yeah.
It's like a play.
You have to have a...
It also might actually minimize people being on their phones during movies because then they can check in the intermission.
Yeah.
That's... Yeah. You know what? If they even did like intermission... You can check your phones now.
Watch how fast
people be like, I can't wait for intermission.
Yeah, you go out. It's like harkens back to like an older time as well, where like you would all go outside with your like, you know, your
smoke a cigarette.
Yeah, have a drink waiting for you.
Talk about what you think.
What do you think is going to happen? Are you going to go back for the second half?
When they did the first screening of Hateful Eight at the DGA, I was there for it. And people, like when that moment happens right before the intermission, everybody like got up and was so excited just to talk a little bit because we all wanted to know what everyone else was thinking.
Yeah.
But it was just so refreshing to have that. But also it's a long movie, you know, so it can't hurt.
I mean, it's like, but they also just used to make films almost with like knowing when the intermission point was going to be in it.
Or like, the real changes too.
Yeah,
exactly. And I don't know. I just feel like it brought something to the storytelling, like the pacing and everything of a film that's just very unique to a very specific time that I wasn't alive for, but still feel nostalgic.
Yeah, I feel nostalgic for a lot of things that I was not around for. But Joe, do you have a movie that you really want to show her that you haven't shown yet?
Man,
I mean,
Schindler's List
you talk about.
That's the one, yes. Yeah. And Schindler's List to me, that's for the longest time. Look, I love Spielberg. I grew up with Spielberg. He was one of the first directors that I knew who a director was. And when I saw Schindler's List, that was also the summer, like that year in 93 was Jurassic Park. And then 5 months later, you had Schindler's List. Wow. And I'll never forget being in that theater opening night.
That's awesome.
And I had never experienced a movie like that where the audience sat in the seats for a good 5 minutes when it was over. Like, no one got up. it was silent. And for the longest time, I would say that was my favorite movie of all time. And the thing is, though, it's like, it's not the type of movie that I think anyone would expect of me, you know, like to be my favorite movie of all time.
Seinfeld, he's like making out with a girl.
Yeah. When the Seinfeld episode came out, I'm like, ah, shit. Like, I don't know if this is right.
I mean,
it's not that I'm even worried. It's just, I know that
that's... Well, I already love the film, but I've never seen it. When you describe watching it at the theater, it's like, that always seems like such a magical... There are so many movies that I'm desperate
to see, especially
at something like the New Beverly, where you know people are turning up with an open mind, like ready to be engaged. I've watched movies at the New Bev that I've seen... We just saw School of Rock there like a month ago.
Oh my God.
And that was one of the best New Beverly crowds I've ever been in. It was like
four or five standing ovations.
Yeah, well, because I was like all set to open.
Oh.
Wow.
That's brutal. That is brutal. Fucking brutal. That is brutal. God damn it.
I should have just...
Don't we have closing remarks? Yeah. I've listened to the show. We do have closing remarks.
Because that's all the time that we have for today. But Joe and Rebecca, is there any final thought that you'd like to share with the audience?
Do you want to go first?
No, I'm still in the middle of just like...
Talking about Schindler's List?
Yeah, I'm just like, Mr. S is what it's all about. No, I'm trying to...
You know, I've never seen Schindler's List, actually.
You've never seen it?
I've never seen it, no.
I smell a movie night.
I'm a little afraid to watch it.
It's the sort of movie that I wish that they would, like the New Bev would program. Phil, you've got a list. I will say this. Cinema is such an extension of who we are, both the filmmakers, but also, you know, the people who watch them. We collect them, we absorb them, we make them part of us. And I think one of the things that, like, I love about you and that I love about movies is that we can share these experiences, even though they're not ours, but they do become part of our DNA. And I think everybody out there who's listening right now, I know you have a litmus test movie. We all do.
And it's okay to have it.
And it is. Mm-hmm. And it, be proud of those movies because they are extensions of who you are. And if the person who watches the Rugrats movie
or
Friday the 13th Part 5 or whatever it is, but embrace that and go with it and cultivate your own kind of personal algorithm with that partner.
I would definitely that's a good closing remark. Just encourage people to be open about sharing experiences with other people in general, like especially with movies. And I always say about Joe, this is always so sad, but like, because we both grew up watching movies kind of on our own in like separate parts of the world. And I didn't realize... I was always happy to be alone, so I didn't realize I was lonely until I met Joe.
Aww.
And then realized, like, oh, this is what it's like having, like, a best friend who can just be like, oh, let's watch this one.
That was
a
good me.
Yeah.
That was me. Oh. It was a good me, too.
Yeah.
That's so sweet.
So, like, you know, you just kind of... It is hard sometimes. It does feel like you're putting your heart out on a line when you introduce someone to a film or anything that you care that much about.
Music, art, but anything like that. Yeah.
Like the dividends that it can pay back just by, you know, by someone engaging with it on any level and how it can change your relationship, not just with that person, but with the film and like evolve as a person with it.
Because that movie
wonderful.
Will always be the same.
It's just a really beautiful thing.
We change around that movie, you know, and when you're a kid and watching a movie, and then when you're an adult watching a movie, sometimes two completely different experiences. We change, we evolve. And it's nice to have those things sometimes that stay the same for us to remind ourselves also why we love them, you know?
How far we've come.
Yes.
Yes.
That's very, very nice. Well put.
Thank you. You too.
And right before I do my wrap up, is Suitable Flesh coming out on demand soon?
Suitable Flesh is on demand now.
Okay, great.
It's on Blu-ray physical media on January 9th. So next Tuesday. So when this drops, Tuesday, it'll already be out. It's on Shudder January 26th. Finally, I can announce this. There will be a VHS version of Suitable Flesh.
Oh, great.
You heard it here first. And that will be out in the spring. I am doing the pan and scan myself.
Oh my gosh.
Oh no, I did it on Mayhem as well. There is no better feeling than to actually do the pan and scan.
Oh, you're doing it on pan. I'm so excited.
It's so much fun.
I'm like actually like rocking back in my chair now, you guys. I'm so excited.
We did it on Mayhem because there's a difference between the cut back and forth and the slide. I thought, and I'm sure that your dad will appreciate this as well, I thought that was an actual camera technique. When you watch like Rambo First Blood Part 2, there are so many moments where some drunk dude in Burbank was just sliding the camera between Sly Stallone and Richard Crenna.
You thought it was a gold black was, cut, but no.
No, but I did. I thought that was a choice that the director made, not Phil in Burbank, who's just going like, oh shit, I gotta go to the old guy. So to be able to do that deliberately is
amazing.
The amount of movies we'll watch, like on the Criterion Channel, they'll be like, oh, like The Leopard, we should watch that. And Joel will be like, God, I watched this on TV like a million years ago and it did not look like this.
No, but that's the thing. It's like to be able to watch the 4:3 version as opposed to the widescreen version.
I didn't realize that person was in that scene.
It was so muddy back then.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Good times.
Thank you so much to my lovely guests, Rebecca Howard and Joe Lynch. Rebecca is social media free, but if you want to keep up with Joe, you can do so on his Instagram or Twitter at TheJoeLynch. And make sure you check out Suitable Flesh, available streaming, and then eventually on Blu-ray, which I was going to call a DVD, which I'm get dragged for
no
by my
DVD,
friends.
No DVD, just Blu-ray. Yeah, it's crazy.
And also VHS. I'm really, really excited about that.
I'm going to sneak into the archives and shove one of those.
I'll help.
Sweet.
I'm Gala Avery, and this has been The Gala Show. The Gala Show is brought to you by Insertomatic. This episode was executive produced by Roger Avery and produced by Gala Avery. Music composed by Andy Milburn. As always, I'm your host, Gala Avery. Copyright 2023, all rights reserved. Despite me sharing the same last name with this charity, I don't have any affiliation with it, besides the fact the issue is very near and dear to my heart. Did you know that in the United States, 2.7 million children currently have a parent in prison, and it's estimated that 10 million children have experienced parental incarceration at some point in their lives? I was one of these kids, and as an adult, I am really grateful to be able to give back to Project Avery. Their mission is to build leadership from within by supporting community through programs such as mentoring and outdoor education, and also to remove the stigma surrounding having a parent that's incarcerated. You don't have to feel alone. If you know a kid who could use these resources or would like to donate money or time to the charity, please go to Project Avery, that's AVARY.org, to check out what this amazing charity is all about. Again, that's ProjectAvery.org. Thank you guys, from the bottom of my heart.